A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Sukkah Nun Beis, Sukkah 52a, pagination, page 102. We're at the last word on a line, about 15 lines down from the top. The word is Al, Ayin Lamid. The Gemara here indicates that at a time in the future, when the Yetzer Hara will be killed, the evil inclination will stop. So there will be a mourning, M-O-U-R, a mourning, a time of crying over the loss at the time that the Yetzer Hara is lost. And the Gemara wonders, what is it that we're mourning? What is causing the tears of sadness at that time? The Gemara says, Al Yetzer Hara Shenerag, the Yetzer Hara will be killed, Hayaspeda Ba'ilamevad. You're telling me that it should be a time of eulogy, of sadness, Simcha Ba'ilamevad. It should be a time of happiness, Amai Bachu, why are they crying? And the Gemara explains that there is a different emotion taking place, a different assessment taking place, which causes the tears. Kedarash Rabbi Yehuda, as Rabbi Yehuda taught, La'asad lava mevio HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyetzer hara v'shochta b'fnei atzadikim u'b'fnei harishoyim. In the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take the yetzer hara and shecht it, so to speak, in front of the tzadikim and in front of the rishoyim. Tzadikim, the righteous people, nidma lohem kahar gavoa, they view the yetzer hara like a big mountain. U'rishoyim nidma lohem kechot ha'sayra, and the Rishoyim view it like a little thread, halalu bochem v'halalu bochem, and they both cry. Tzadikim bochem v'omrim, the tzadikim cry as they say, heyach yicholenu lichbosh har gavoa kozeh, how did it happen that we were able to overcome such a great mountain? Or Rishoyim bochem v'omrim, and the Rishoyim cry and say, heyach lo yicholenu lichbosh eschut asayra hazeh, how could it be that we weren't even able to overcome this thin, simple thread. The way the Yetzer Hara works is that he starts off asking the person to do something that seems innocuous. And based on what his response is to that innocuous chet, that simple, tame type of behavior, not so bad, based on that will result either an inner building of the person becomes stronger, like exercise, or the person becomes weaker because they can't even overcome this, so what's going to be further? And the Yetzer Hara keeps luring the person, keeps challenging the person. If he's challenging the person and you keep overcoming, so eventually the Yetzer Hara can challenge you with great, great things and you'll still overcome. If the Yetzer Hara is luring the person and the person keeps succumbing to the test, and falling in, so the Yetzer Hara keeps coming up with greater tests, and the person keeps succumbing until they're actually doing something really bad. In retrospect, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally exposes the Yetzer Hara, and they look at it and they see where this all called life has taken them, so the tzaddikim look and see, wow, I am able now to overcome such great challenges. I went on this journey and kept succeeding and overcoming the little challenges as they were presented to me, building up my endurance to greater and greater nisyonos. So they're astounded. Such a big mountain. And they didn't even realize. They're just climbing one step at a time. The Rishoyim take a look at the full assessment and they realize now that it all started from one little misstep. I couldn't overcome a little thread of an obstacle. I couldn't overcome that. And as a result, it kept getting worse and worse. But now they look back and they realize at that critical juncture, had they overcome, they would have been saved and would have become greater with time. Let's skip three lines. Amar Ravasi said, Yetzer Hara b'tchila dama luchot shel buchya. in the beginning, it's like a spider's thread, a little thread. But in the end, if a person gets wrapped up into it, then it becomes like the ropes that pull a wagon. Shenemar, that the final step is that it's like big ropes that totally keep the person captive, locked in to his bad behavior. I once heard a nice little nuance that perhaps can be added on to this Gemara, that not only are the tzaddikim viewing their final greatest success in tests as a har gavoa, as a great mountain, but the reason for their success is that in the very, very beginning, when they encountered the problem, they viewed it as a har gavoa, a great mountain. How could you possibly expect me to do something of such significance? Imagine a person who comes on time to davening. And one time the Yetzer Hara says, listen, maybe you come 5 minutes late. Maybe you enjoy a cup of tea before going to Minyan. You'll be late by 5 minutes, but what's 5 minutes anyway? And the person responds, what do you mean? 5 minutes is a whole world. It's a big mountain. I don't want to do that offense. And because he viewed it as a har gavoa from the beginning, therefore he was able to climb great mountains. Whereas the Rishayim, when they first encountered their first problem, they viewed it as a little thread, big deal, it's a small violation. And they don't realize that as you take a small violation and move in the direction of weakening one's spiritual strength, it continues. And eventually it becomes what's described as the ropes of the wagon. Just as a mashal, I'd like to add on here, very interesting nuance. There was a person just after the Twin Towers were built who walked across the Twin Towers via a rope, a tight walking rope. And the way he got the rope from one tower of the Twin Towers to the other was very interesting. He was doing it illegally. You know, let a tightrope between these two towers. And he got into the building, etc. The way he got the rope from one end to the other was that he shot a bow and arrow using a very, very thin, like a fishing line perhaps, and he was able to shoot that from one tower to the other. Attached to the fishing line was a wire that was just a little bit thicker. And the people on the other tower received the arrow, they received the fishing line, and they were able to pull and pull and pull. And eventually a drop thicker than the fishing line came across, and then attached to that was a drop thicker, a drop thicker, a drop thicker, until eventually he was able to get across the heavy tightrope walking rope that he was going to be able to use for his event. And that's very, very similar to the way the Yetzer Hara operates, starting with a little something and then keeping on building until eventually he could have the person totally locked up. Likewise, the way to extract oneself from bad behavior is by whittling away a little bit, even a little bit of starting to fight and building up one's endurance. It's possible to get oneself out of the clutches of the Yetzer Hara, of the bad behavior. Let's turn to the second side, and we encounter a strategy of how to deal with the Yetzer Hara. Six lines down, second word on the line. Tanu Devei Rabbi Yishmael, the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael taught as follows. In Poga Becha Menuvel Zeh, if this disgusting one, the Yetzer Hara, encounters you, here's a strategy. Mashcheyu Leveis HaMedrash, pull him in to the Beis HaMedrash. Im Evenhu Nimoach, if he's a stone, he will dissolve. In Barzelhu, if he's like metal, mispotzitz, he would be crushed by the power of Torah. Now, what exactly is the Gemara recommending that we do? Pull him into the Beis HaMedrash. What exactly is the Gemara expecting us to do with him in the Beis HaMedrash? So, I have a comment, an observation, that might be helpful to some people. Sometimes when a person is stressed, and therefore he feels himself a little bit weaker to whatever the Yetzer Hara tells him to do, so coming into the Beis HaMedrash with the intent of sitting down and learning for 4 hours straight and finishing a masechta during the next 4 days, that might actually increase the stress level and might not make him stronger to the Yetzer Hara. It might actually weaken his positioning. It is possible that Moshcheyu leBeis HaMedrash, bring him into a Beis HaMedrash where people are learning. How much you're going to learn, I don't know. Maybe you'll be more comfortable doing Gemara. Maybe you'll be more comfortable saying Tehillim. Maybe you'll be more comfortable learning Musa Seder. I don't know what you're going to do there. But go into the Beis HaMedrash. Wash oneself in Hashem's love. Recognize Hashem loves you. Bathe in the radiance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And perhaps that's what the Gemara means. Mashcheu leBeis HaMedrash. Pull him to the Beis HaMedrash. And in the Beis HaMedrash, you'll experience Hashem's love for you. And through that, you'll be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. One final thought regarding the Yetzer Hara. As a person encounters the temptation, a person thinks that this is good for me. I'm going to enjoy it. He's my friend. Moving down about 4 lines in the middle of the line, Yetzer Hara masisa la'adam ba'olam hazeh. The Yetzer Hara tempts the person in this world, umeir alav la'olam haba, and then he says testimony against him in the world to come. He's not your friend. He's a tempter, he's a tester, and by overcoming him, it makes the decisions and overcoming the challenges of life so treasured, to the point that in Jewish literature it's mentioned that to a certain extent, when a person overcomes the Yetzer Hara himself rejoices, because really he's supposed to give it his best shot, but ultimately the real goal is for you to overcome him. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.